Hey, this is Alex in partnership with CoverPrice.com, the ultimate comic book resource, highlighting a book from CoverPrice's weekly top 10 report for the week ending June 21st. These are the comics collectors chased the hardest last week, driving demand and pushing prices across the aftermarket. This week, everyone is hyped for Spider-Man Brand New Day thanks to tickets opening up for the new movie, and so the price for Amazing Spider-Man 546 from 2008, which marks the official start of the Brand New Day storyline in the comics, is back in the spotlight and has seen a 40% increase in sales over the past week, now averaging $22 for a near-mint copy. You can identify it by the cover by Steve McNiven, which has Spider-Man springing into action off the side of an NYC skyscraper. And don't tell anyone that the movie has absolutely nothing to do with the comic book storyline inside, okay? Cool. That was a highlight from CoverPrice's weekly top 10 report. Want to learn what your collection is worth right now? CoverPrice.com does all the hard work for you, tracking aftermarket sales for both raw and slabbed comics. CoverPrice.com lets you know what your comics are actually selling for. Interested in weekly new releases, FOCs, trending comic lists, and a ton of other great content? CoverPrice has you covered. Visit CoverPrice.com/comicbookclub today to get 1 month of CoverPrice for just $1. That's CoverPrice.com/comicbookclub. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex, and I'm very excited about this special episode we have for you here, talking about an upcoming book, a highly anticipated, highly hyped book called Archie Number One. It is the first of Oni Press's new Archie comics line, reinventing the classic Riverdale characters. We're very lucky here to have pretty much the entire creative team, or most of the creative team of the new book. We got writer Ben H. Winters and artists Nick Cagnetti and Fabio Moon. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for doing this.
My gosh. Thank you for making the time. I know it is very early slash weird times for all of you as we're jumping on here. And just to lay out for listeners, the book is not coming out until September 2nd, but final order cutoff is July 27th, so that's coming up pretty quickly. So if you do want Archie Number One, you're going to want to head to your comic book shop and order that. I know I definitely will be. Huge Archie comics fan here, and very excited to see what you all have in store. Now, we've gotten little peeks here. We've gotten, you know, press releases with quotes. We got designs as we're taping this yesterday. Kano's designs, and then Fabio, I believe, your sketches of the characters from the book as well. But let's take like a big step back and talk about this. And I know you've probably been talking about this quite a bit, but what draws you personally to Archie? These characters have been around for decades now. We all have I always find it very interesting because everybody's like, I know where I first saw Archie comics. This is my tie to it, or have no connection to it whatsoever. So to kind of go around, Ben, for you first, what was your experience with Archie? What's your emotional connection or not to the property?
I mean, Archie is like one of those things that's just in the ether of like the culture, you know, and certainly, you know, in America, I grew up in Maryland, you know, but like, I think probably all around the world, it's like, it is iconic, which is a word that has kind of been broadened in its sense in the last decade or two decades, I would say iconic. But I think there's no question that like, it's Archie's like Mickey Mouse. It's like Coke. It's just something that I don't think I could say for certain where I first encountered Archie comics. It's just one of those things that's always been around. And like the primary characters, certainly Archie, Betty and Veronica, Jughead are like, they are, they're like permanent fixtures. And you see them and you get an emotional understanding of what they are. There's just, there is a resonance to the characters. I think there aren't a lot of characters in culture that have that kind of immediate connection to so many people. Like, oh yeah, totally, Archie. I know what that is. I love that. You know what I mean? It's like Superman. Like, yeah, totally. You know? And like, I think, and you guys can talk about this as artists, but as a writer, it's like, what an exciting challenge to be like, oh yeah, what am I going to do with this thing? You know, how, what direction am I going to push this in a way that will maintain that won't betray that trust, that emotional trust that I think readers have with these characters, but at the same time do something that is kind of new and kind of unique to me and what I want to do, you know?
Yeah. Nick, what about you? What's your connection, if any, to Archie?
Gosh, I think personally, the first encountering the characters just to like the supermarket checkout lines as a kid, seeing them, they're bright and colorful. And, you know, I personally didn't read much of any of the books as a kid or anything, but like that was like the type of thing that I was drawn to as far as comics go, stuff that looked kind of that ilk, so to speak. But, like my mom, dad, my grandma, they all have their stories of reading the books as kids and stuff. So I think for me, as somebody who's mainly just done creator own stuff up to this point, it's not lost on me, like just like all that lineage and being in that long line and trying to like Ben was saying, you know, stay true to the core of those characters, which are really identifiable and really iconic, but also just trying to bring some of my own flair to it. And I think like just instantly like working on some of the characters, like you get that feel of like that you know who they are, like just instantly, and it's just really fun. Just going and playing in that world already.
Yeah. And Fabio, what about you?
Are you hearing me okay?
Yeah, you're great.
Okay. I actually have very little Archie experience, but like Nick said, Archie has been around comics for so long that a lot of the stuff that I was exposed to is a result of Archie existing. Like every comic book about a gang of kids is influenced by Archie existing. So here in Brazil, for existence, comics, the biggest comic book in Brazil is a comic book for kids about a gang of kids called Monica's Gang. And Monica wouldn't exist if Archie didn't exist. And this premise of kids growing up together and this scenario of growing up together, learning together, discovering the world together, it's something that Archie kind of initiated and has spread out everywhere in comics around the world. And so I was certainly, like, I was influenced by that. And since the stories that I like to tell are relationship stories, that's how I started as well, like in my self-published comics in high school and then in college, I was making stories about relationships and relationships with that dealt with like my friends in school and the situations we encounter, like meeting a girl for the first time or having trouble in school with a certain class. All that resonates with this work that I'm doing right now. And it's what interested me in coming aboard the projects, like, let's talk about growing up. Let's talk about discovering a world that is so familiar for everybody, but at the same time, we have to feel that we are discovering it along with the characters.
That's right.
Mm. That is also interesting to hear. I do want to ask a little bit. We'll get more into the meat of the book in a second. But Ben, you kind of came in midstream. Initially, when this was first announced, it was W. Maxwell Prince. I was still, to be clear, excited to hear your name because we're big fans of Benjamin. We talked to you about that on the podcast a couple of months back, if I recall. Great book as well. But what was set and what were you able to bring to the project? Was it already midstream and you were just like catching up to the train it was running? Or did you start from scratch?
No, I started from scratch. I mean, obviously, I was catching up to the train that's been running for 8 decades or however long Archie's existed, right? And so, you know, it wasn't like, okay, you got to come up with a new character set. Like, So that piece of the assignment was there, but certainly I wasn't handed any existing scripts or any existing, you know, we want to go in this direction. And like, I think this is a testament to Oni, like, and to the Archie folks. It was like, new guy, let's see what he wants to talk about. And like, I had a great long meeting with Hunter, who's, you know, the head of Oni, and with the Archie team. And just sort of like, I was like, all right, look, here's what I think, the kinds of stories that I think would be fun to tell. And here's where I think would be a good starting place. And like, they were like, great, let's rock and roll. So it has been nothing but like green lights and open doors and like, just have fun. And certainly like, I am the kind of writer who responds to deadline pressure. Like, I think I like the thing of like, okay, you got this job and okay, you're almost done. So I, that was part of the challenge for me and part of what made it fun. I was like, all right, let's get rocking. And I got rocking, you know?
Well, let's talk about the take then a little bit. So how much, obviously, like, for anybody who doesn't know, I'm just to sort of lay it out there. Archie Comics is continuing. It's not going away. They still have the digest. They're putting out the classic stuff. Oni's stuff is existing alongside of it. So when you're hitting this, and I think you started to touch on this a little bit, how much are you paying tribute to the history of Archie versus forging your own path going forward?
You want to start with me?
Or, yeah.
I mean, I think it's like 60-40 paying, like sticking with what we all know. I think like inevitably I am my own person. I'm my own writer, right? So like whoever you hand this assignment to, there's going to be fingerprints of who that person is, their stylistic choices, their like their narrative interests within this larger framework of Archie. So like for me, I was really excited to think about, all right, there are these teenagers. We all love them as teenagers. We love that they're doing teenage things. But like all teenagers, they're caught in this interesting state between being kids and adulthood and this sort of looming sense that like things are going to change and they're going to change sooner than I think. And like, I was really curious to start to add, not in like a melancholy way, but in a sort of thoughtful way of like, are these characters starting to think about what comes next and how does that color their lives? And like, I personally have three teenagers right now. I will for another couple months. My oldest is about to turn 20. So, but for this time period, I've been really interested in the way that they are both kids and adults. And I think if there's anything that is particularly new in my version of Archie, it is that sense of like intersection and like what comes next.
Is one of your kids Archie, one Jughead, and one Betty and or Veronica? Or no, I guess I don't know the makeup there.
No, they're all Jughead in a way. but all teenagers are Jughead. But yeah. I do have a dog named Archie. So every time that I put something like this in the calendar, like, you know, the home calendar, my wife's like, what's going on with Archie? I'm like, no, it's the other Archie. The world famous Archie, not our German Shepherd mix.
Yeah, the dog is still Archie number one in your heart, though.
Is correct. That's right.
Let's talk about the look of the book. Now, Fabio, I just want to turn to you first, just because, again, this email came out yesterday. We saw Kano's designs, and then I saw your takes on them. Is that sort of the workflow there? Is it going from Kano setting up the looks, or are you interpreting them in your own? What's your take on it?
Kano came and did this pass on every character. And I think that was an attempt from Oni to get like a uniform redesign for all the books, since we're doing all many books. Mm-hmm. And so the first pass was by one artist, and then every artist is going to do their own take and reinterpret based on what was established by Kano. So I didn't came up with the clothes, and more or less neither did Kano, because it's such an iconic look that he just had like to respect the look and think about what each piece of clothing meant and what piece of how the hairdos help the characters. And then I took that and I started thinking about the personality of the characters and how that's really what's important in the drawing, is showing that they have distinct personalities. They are not just the same teenager, the same girl, the same guy, the same jock. They are all different, and their personalities should transpire through the way they stand up, to the way they talk, to the way they walk. And that was more how I try to approach the design of the characters, thinking that they are teenagers. So they are, I don't know, they're less stiff and less heroic than a typical, I don't know, adventure comic book character.
Yeah. I want to ask you about some specifics in a second, but first, just to, I've been very curious about this, Fabio and Nick, what is the coordination between you two like? Because you, as far as I see of your work, are very different artists. So I can't imagine that you're going page to page back and forth. Is it one of you doing one arc and the next arc? Is there more of a coordination there? What's going on? What's going on, guys?
It seems like there's a little bit of like a switching up back and forth kind of thing going on. And I think so far, like I've started working on my first issue here, first full issue. And I think Ben's script is like really catering to the bombastic kind of fun, zany stuff that I like to draw. So like it's a perfect melding of worlds for me in that respect, and I'm just kind of following the lead as far as the whole 85 years of Archie in general, just looking at everything that's been done and just following Kano and Fabio's work and just trying to stay within the wheelhouse of what Oni's doing at the moment with the character, but also again just trying to bring some of my own sensibilities and really trying to focus on like the character acting and just push the cartoon in a bit with just the expressions and just stuff like that, really make it a little over the top in a fun way.
And just to ask again, on a logistical level, are you both switching off issues? Are you switching off arcs, or is that TBD at this point?
I think we have distinct issues. We're not drawing on the same issue, so it mix up people. Like, this character is different in the middle of that page. That looks like a soap opera actor change in the from one scene to the other.
Right. So like the actor playing Jughead quit. He's a new guy.
and I mean, Ben, just to stick on this for a second, how does that affect your writing process then, knowing that Fabio is doing one issue and Nick is doing another?
It doesn't. I don't think I have not thus far, and maybe it will change. Maybe it will change as I start to get full issues back and see but I think that narratively and joke telling wise and like what I'm doing with the character wise is probably going to remain who I am. And then it'll be hopefully fun and interesting for readers to encounter that through these two different lenses rather than it being me trying to do separate forms of collaboration with Nick and with Fabio. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Like I said earlier, I wanted to dive into the characters a little bit. And Ben, I'm curious to get your takes on them. But just looking at them visually, Betty and Veronica to me, and this is just my interpretation, so you tell me where I'm wrong here, but Betty and Veronica look like, oh yeah, that's Betty and Veronica. This is kind of how I know them. Archie and Jughead were interesting to me because there's a little bit of variation there. Archie looked maybe a little doughier than we've seen him in the past. Like he's not, I'm thinking maybe a little bit of like the Mark Waid Fiona Staples run where he was a little bit more of a jock, you know, he was a little bit more beefed up. Here he seems more like a regular guy. There's more roundness to him. And Jughead, I took away, there definitely seemed to be a little sense of the Riverdale Jughead a little bit. I think he was described as like an art weirdo. I'm paraphrasing here on the design sheet. So maybe for either one of you, how accurate is that? What is that take artistically on Archie? What makes, say, Archie, to start with him, different than we've seen before and maybe the same for either one of you? I guess, Fabio, if you want to go first.
Okay, well, I think what I want to convey is that, like, the teenagers, they are clumsy. They are discovering their bodies. So everybody is more clumsy than, I don't know, the previous versions. And so I want them to be clumsy, to like, to not be athletic, to not be super dynamic. And their clothes sometimes, most times, a little bit bigger than what you would choose later in life. Teenagers have terrible taste in clothing. They always choose the wrong size, because sometimes, like the girls, sometimes they are not yet comfortable with their bodies, and there's social pressure. So you put bigger clothes, you hide, and boys, they pick clothes. They don't think about clothes. It's whatever is closer to their hand when they're late going to school, and they have other things in their minds. So that's kind of what I wanted. And at the same time, I was also trying, and that's trickier because it depends on the story if I have a chance to do that. But I'm trying to make sure that Veronica and Betty are very different, not only being a blonde and a brunette. Mm-hmm. And like everything should make clear that they're different girls with different personalities, different ideas, and more than Jughead and Archie, which are easier. Jughead and Archie are much easier to draw, and because, I don't know, people pay less attention to boys. they're not as worried. Even the Archie people had less notes about the male characters than the female characters. People are much more worried about how we portray women, young mm-hmm. women especially. So I pay more attention to how to make sure they are different and they reflect young women today.
Nick, are you having the same experience? Are you finding that Archie and Jughead are just like smooth sailing and Betty and Veronica where the tough part is? You're nodding, so I'm guessing yes.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like we're having pretty similar feelings on the matter, just because, like, yeah, you know, like I did a book before, Pink Lemonade, and I think doing that book, since it was starring a woman as the lead, I tried to be more aware of like just how to carry the character and how to, like, you know, give that like the most care possible, just because, like, I wanted her to feel like a certain type of way. And like same applies for Betty and Veronica so far. Even just doing my sketches for this first issue here, like really trying to hone in on those differences immediately. But even as far as the body language goes, you know, but I think also it's kind of fun, like right now where we're recording, I don't think the public has seen any of my Archie art so far, but I think my approach to, you know, him in general is, you know, like you said, a little bit further away from the Mark Waid, Fiona Staples also, but trying to do some fun stuff, like, you know, like the classic hairstyle, trying to make that make sense, blending what, you know, what Kano and Fabio are doing, but also, you know, trying to get those side little scratches going on in a fun way, and incorporate that and make it look like seamless somehow.
Well, Ben, what about you from the writing perspective? Are you having the same female problems that the artists have, or what have you found? Which characters have you found like just are smooth sailing to write, and which are potentially maybe not trouble, but a little trickier?
You know, what's funny is that, like, the is that for me, in a weird way, Archie is the hardest character to write, because, like, I feel like if you put Jughead in any situation, I understand almost instinctively the way he'll respond or the sorts of things that he'll say. He's this sort of art weirdo. Yes, he's a little bit of a self-imposed outsider. He like sort of looks at things from a little bit of a funny angle all the time. I think of him as a little bit of like a philosopher king. Like, you know, he's like a character like Linus or like, Hobbes from Calvin and Hobbes. Like he exists on a sort of level slightly above, but still inside his milieu. Like, I love that. And I feel like it's a really fun and interesting thing to write, even as he has his own concerns and problems. And P.S. he loves hamburgers. Like, great. And then Betty and Veronica, of course, like famously, Betty is more optimistic and bright and like good with her hands and knows how to do things and like is she's a girl next door. She's the sweetheart. Whereas Veronica holds herself a little more aloof and is the unattainable, like, and has something a little bit more of a cutting edge to her point of view. Like, all those things present themselves and are so, there's like a body of lore to them. And same with Reggie and same with Moose and Moose's girlfriend, like all the, but Archie right at the center. He's an everyman. He's a classic everyman character. So in one sense, he is the lead in most of these stories. He's the one driving the action from what he wants or the trouble he gets into. And yet, like every everyman, that's an expansive category. So it is hard to sort of nail down sometimes exactly what his point of view is. There was a note I got early on from Archie, from the Archie Comics people. There's a shorthand, we call them Archie, which is a little confused. But like, where I had him doing something that was a little too sneaky or even illegal or unethical. And they were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, Archie wouldn't do that. Like, he's not a rogue, right? Mm-hmm. He's not like a miscreant. He is someone that you would want to be friends with and want your kids to be friends with. And sometimes that can feel vanilla, and we don't want him to feel vanilla. So it's all about looking for ways for him to get himself into really interesting situations, but from a place of loyalty, decency, ambition that even if it takes him too far, we can admire. Yeah. So no, it's not the women or the girls who I've had particular trouble with, but maybe it's because two of my three teenagers are girls. Like, I feel like I have a little bit of what's going on in their minds. Not that much, believe me, but a little bit, maybe enough.
What about the love triangle? This is something that I think is core to Archie. You've got Archie, you've got Betty, you've got Veronica there, but it's something that particularly in more recent decades has been looked at as problematic because it diminishes Betty and Veronica down to just chasing after Archie and Archie being indecisive. Maybe this is something that will become apparent when we actually read the book and you want to save it for then, but how are you tackling that, Ben?
I think it's just a matter of saying that, yes, they each have a crush on Archie. Yes, Archie has a permanent and unresolvable crush on each of them. And in addition to that, they all have other things going on in their lives. So in other words, it is not just like a constant being driven by like this one simple aspect of character. You know, we've all been talking about this, but like adolescents have like a lot of things going on in their heads all the time and a lot of like unresolvable conflicting things and a lot of like things that can be burned very hot one day and very low the next. So every time Betty appears, her storyline is not going to be about, oh, I want Archie so much. I'm so mad he's with Veronica right now, because that would be problematic because it's saying, well, that person is just one thing and she's not. She has other things going on. She has her own like emotional inner life. She also has a friendship with Veronica. So like, it isn't as if they are constantly at each other's throats because they both like the same guy. And I think that is reflective of not just what teenagers' lives are like, but what all of our lives are like, that we can't be reduced to being one simple problem or one simple thing.
You mentioned a couple of the supporting characters, and I will say when yesterday we put up the art designs on our website, the first comment I got was, where's Reggie? From somebody. And I was like, okay, calm down. They're just showing off the four main characters. But I am curious, Fabio, maybe for you first again, and then for you, Nick, is there a supporting character you've been drawing that particularly has popped for you that you've enjoyed? Not to lean towards Pop Tate or anything with the pop comment, but anybody there, Reggie, Dilton, maybe Sabrina if she pops up, anybody like that off the core four cast that you've had a little fun putting a little pep into?
Well, any character aside from the teenage core is funnier to tackle because we have more freedom. Mm-hmm. Because of what I said, like, people are so focused on how this gang of teenagers look that we have to pay attention to that. With the adults, we can have more fun. So I have more fun drawing Pop than I have drawing the teenagers. But I like drawing the teenagers more. But I have more fun with an older character, rounder character, old, like, it has like wrinkle. Maybe characters have wrinkles. Maybe characters have, I don't know, bellies. Maybe characters have different clothes that reflect what they like, their job. Everything is more interesting in the adult world because we don't have to be so strict with how these characters have been presented for the last 85 years. Mm. So it's I can be more cartoony. Like my style has a little bit of a cartoony thing, flavor, but not as much as Nick's. So every character where I can express more of this cartoonishness, it makes my job funnier and more enjoyable.
Nick, what about you?
I think right now the answer for me would be Vegas, Archie's dog. I'm doing a little bit of that character right now, and I love dogs, so it's really been fun. And I think just trying to draw animals, like, just being like crazy and just running around all over the place, and get the personality that he's got popping through at the same time. I think that's a fun challenge so far, because I always appreciate when I get to tackle some of the more offbeat stuff or situations or characters, because, like, I think that was one thing earlier on when I was first, like, really trying to push into comics, was like trying to draw as much situations and types of characters that would, like, push what I could do, push myself a little bit more. I remember people were always saying, like, kids, animals, vehicles, like, that's like the hardest stuff to get acquainted with drawing a bunch. So I feel like from that perspective, it's pretty fun too. Just keep trying to make that stuff work.
Now, Ben, for you, we touched on a little bit earlier that design-wise, this is all taking place in the same world, and I've talked to Hunter and Sierra about it a couple of months back, and clearly Sabrina is taking place in the same world as Archie. Sabrina's coming out in October. Archie and Hell, I guess we'll see how that connects to all of this later on. They remained pointedly silent when I asked them about an upcoming crossover with the titles, which told me basically all I needed to know. But this is all a wind up to say, like, what has the coordination been like? How much are you running on your own track with Archie versus making sure it's aligned with the other titles? And presumably, as long as this goes well, titles to come.
Yeah, that is one place where I'm catching up. Like, in other words, when you asked me before, I was sort of thrown into this project when it was already underway. And I've Karina and Patrick are both amazing. Those are the writers of those two other titles that you mentioned, and had developed some lore and some intersecting lore before I came around. And we have started to work on ways in which those things can interact. What's interesting about my title is being this sort of like genre piece of this. Like, Sabrina obviously is part of the core Archie world, but she has her own very elevated, genre position. And then Archie and Hell is its whole own crazy thing. So, like, but mine is just like, it's just regular Archie. So I get to sort of just do my thing and look for the places where we can sort of swerve and to intersect with those worlds. And there is something some seeds I am hopefully slowly planting, without saying too much, that will bear fruit down the line in those ways. Yeah. It's funny because my orientation is, I am a genre writer, and I always have been. I've written a lot of mystery and a lot of science fiction. And like, so there's for me a particular joy in doing the title that is just the regular thing. In other words, I don't have those filigrees. I don't get to play around with the devil showing up or whatever it is, unless it's a dream or something. So I'm enjoying the guardrails of that.
Well, guys, I'm very excited about this book, very excited to see where it goes. Like I said, big Archie fan, and I'm excited to see all of your take on it. But just to wrap up your broadest possible question, and Fabio, maybe we'll start with you and go around. But what are you looking forward to people checking out in the book? Like, if somebody was maybe on the fence of, I haven't read Archie in 10 to 15 years, maybe more, maybe since I was a kid, something like that. What's something that you think would make people definitely want to pick up this book? And again, Fabio, maybe starting with you.
From my perspective, not having any Archie tradition in my life, and I want to make this project interesting for me. And if I can make this project interesting for me, hopefully it will be interesting for everybody, even if they know or doesn't know the character. So I'm approaching it as a fresh start for everybody. And I just want this to be an interesting story about teenagers discovering life, and that's how I'm drawing it. I'm drawing it to make it look fresh, to make it look honest, and to make it look fun. And if you like fresh, honest, and fun, then you're in the right place.
I'm trying to imagine a listener being like, well, I don't like any of those things. I don't like fresh, yeah, honest, or fun. Harumph.
Dale, insincere, and dull.
Yes. Nick, what about you? What's something that you're excited for people to check out in Archie number one and beyond?
I think, honestly, just like, I feel like the vibe so far is we're just trying to make the best comics we can, you know, just in general. I feel like, I think that's sort of the always the guiding light, of course. But I think just like Fabio said, kind of that evergreen, just wanting like a good comic kind of a mentality is sort of what I'm also trying to go for. Just, you know, like from the perspective of like, again, like somebody who hasn't done like a whole lot of licensed work, just trying to, you know, put best foot forward and give that my all and just keep playing with like, I really like to play with like the page layouts a lot, and there'll be like a lot of that for sure. So just like playing with the form and just putting all that on the page, you know, that's sort of the perspective I'm trying to go at it from.
Awesome. And Ben, what about you?
I mean, I love what you guys both said. I would just say that, like, for people who haven't read Archie in a long time, like, I think I'm hoping that they will recognize in some of what I'm doing and some of what the guys are doing that, like, so much of the stuff that we love in culture now, especially stuff that has to do with teenagers, is like, this is something Fabio said at the beginning about that Brazilian comic, but like, I mean, Simpsons, South Park, Beverly Hills 90210, like Wednesday that's on air, like anything, like shows about this time of life and these kinds of kids, like they're all descendants of Archie. And like, I think it's fun to try to put some of that energy back into the comic itself. And so people come to it and I'm like, oh, I see, I get it. Like, I get the way that, and part of what I want to do, and the issue that Nick was referencing with the dog, like, is like expand the palette of what Riverdale is and find new places in it and new characters in it in the way that The Simpsons keeps doing so brilliantly with Springfield. It's like, it's this contained place, and yet it is infinitely expandable to contain new situations and new places. And I think that kind of energy, that kind of like buzz that you're never sure what you're going to get in any of these issues, but and yet it still comes back to these core characters, I think is a really fun thing. It's fun to write, and I'm hoping people find it fun to read.
Well, I am excited to read it. For anybody listening out there, again, I'll just mention that final order cutoff for Archie number one is on July 27th, so tell your comic book store to pick it up now. It is coming out September 2nd on stands. Ben, Nick, Fabio, thank you so much for taking the time. I cannot wait to check this out. I'm very excited to visit Riverdale with all of you.
Thank you so much.